their bear shifter whose family worked for the estate. We got along well. She was someone I could just relax with when I had time to myself. Someone I could talk to about the decisions I was having to make. A prickle ran up my back at the she. My sense of the mate bond between us tingled. And then, I said, managing to keep my voice steady, I'd known not all of the alphas would have waited for me in body as well as in soul. But I wasn't sure I wanted to hear about any earlier diversions either. Nate hesitated. He had to know how hard it was for me to even think about him with someone else.
For a few years, we weren't anything more than friends. Then after a while, I realized I was falling in love with her. And she admitted she felt the same way. I'd always thought I would wait for the dragon shifter I was meant to be with, but...
Tears welled in my eyes before the emotion even hit me. I choked on my breath, the thought of Nate, of my mate, choosing someone else, wrenching through me. West had mentioned the idea that he might forsake our mate bond before, but only vaguely. The idea of this specific woman nearly tearing Nate away from me? I hadn't expected it to hit me this hard, but I could barely stand it.
Ren,
Nate said. He brought his hands to my face, cupping it as he leaned close. I closed my eyes against the tears.
I'm sorry,
he said, his voice low and ragged.
I'm here. I wouldn't have ever brought it up if I didn't think I had to for us to move forward. I was tempted, and I was unsure, but in the end, I chose you. I stopped seeing her. I haven't seen her in 7 years. I knew that no matter how right things felt with her, being with you would be even more right.
I inhaled sharply, trying to get my reaction under control. I'm not upset, I managed. Not on purpose, anyway. The feelings just came over me.
It's okay. I can't imagine how I'd feel if you talked about wanting to leave us for some other guy.
He stroked his hand over my hair and kissed my forehead. I leaned into him, soaking up the heat of his body and the strength of his arms as they came around me.
The reason I wanted to tell you, he went on, is to show you that you've always been my first priority, even when I didn't know you yet, and I had temptation right in front of me. I am so incredibly happy to have finally found you that I think I've been a little terrified of losing you before we even have the chance to really be together. And I let that fear talk me into being overprotective. I know you're strong. I know you've got more power in you than any of us. I have to trust in that and not let my worries get in the way.
I hugged him back, nestling my head against his shoulder. Thank you, I said. I can see why you'd feel that way, as long as you're trying not to act on it.
I will. I can't promise that I'll never again give in to the instinct to leap to your defense when you don't really need it. But I'll be doing my best. And if I slip up and you ask me to back off, I'll listen. So don't be shy about telling me off.
A giggle slipped out of me. I swiped away the tears. The wrenching feeling had faded, but an ache remained. An ache for Nate and the years he'd spent alone when he could have had that bond of love already. I raised my head and touched his cheek. Nate smiled with so much affection shining in his dark brown eyes that I couldn't doubt for a second he felt he'd made the right decision. I bobbed up on my toes to press a kiss to his mouth. He kissed me back softly, and then more hungrily. His hand slid down the skin the dress left bare on my back, and over the satiny fabric clinging to my hips. A sharper ache settled between my legs. I wouldn't have believed it possible to want one man this much, let alone four. But I did. God help me, I did. The murmur of the opening door interrupted those thoughts.
The heron shifter I'd seen earlier stepped out onto the terrace, clearing his throat. I stepped back from Nate, not even flushing. After the near orgy I'd seen in the courtyard yesterday night, it was hard to think a little kissing was going to raise any eyebrows.
"Your presence is requested in the dining hall, dragon shifter, Alpha," the young man said with a respectful dip of his head.
"We're on our way,"
Nate replied. He wrapped his hand around mine and pushed away from the railing. We walked hand in hand to the door, not with him leading, but in stride, together. I'd have thought it was a perfect moment if not for the dinner ahead of us, which I knew was going to be anything but fun. 17. Wren. When I walked into the dining hall, at first I couldn't do anything but blink in awe. The room was so big, I'd bet you could have fit a football field in there. Long teak tables set for 20 each stood in rows across the hardwood floor. Another of those tables, this one covered with a red silk tablecloth, stood on a dais at one end of the room. Five of the chairs on the far side of that table were carved in an ornate style, with the one in the middle the tallest and most elaborately sculpted. I didn't need anyone to tell me that was the dragon shifter's chair. My heart started thudding twice as hard. Other shifters were already moving around the room, talking with each other and greeting newcomers. I felt all those eyes move to me as Nate and I approached the high table. I must have talked to a lot of them last night at the welcome celebration, but somehow this felt different. Then everyone had been partying. Now we were down to more serious business. Aaron appeared by the high table to meet us. Like Nate, he'd put on a suit for the occasion, a royal blue number that made his eyes look even more brilliant. Damn, I had really lucked out in the mates department, hadn't I? A woman who looked a few years younger than Aaron, with the same gold-blonde hair and bright blue eyes, stood by his side. She studied me with an expression that wasn't exactly unfriendly, but wasn't all that welcoming, either. Her dress was a simple Grecian-style gown in gray silk, and I could tell from the way she held herself that it wasn't her usual get-up. Her arms, crossed over her slim chest, were solid muscle. Right. Aaron had said I'd be meeting his sister, the one who'd appointed herself as a sort of bodyguard. She definitely looked the part.
"Serenity," Aaron said, motioning me over. "This is my sister, Alice. Alice, meet Serenity, my mate."
Alice said. She held out her hand for me to shake and squeezed mine tightly as she pumped my arm.
"So, you're the one who's had my big brother running all over the country. Glad you finally made it back here."
Her voice was so deadpan, I'd have thought she was being snarky, but her lips curled into a playful but warm smile. I relaxed a little inside. "It was a long trip getting here," I said, "but I did make sure he returned in one piece, as much as certain rogues might have preferred otherwise." Her smile grew to a grin. "I'll give you that. And it's probably a good thing he's got someone dragging him out of that library every now and then." Aaron gave her a baleful look.
"The more time I spend outside the library, the more you complain about all the potential danger I'm putting myself in."
"Only when you don't bring me along." She gave him an affectionate pat on the arm and shot me another smile. "Okay, I liked this chick." Aaron escorted me the rest of the way to my special chair, as if I needed help finding it. I guess the formality looked nice for our spectators. And it wasn't like I minded the reassuring squeeze of my shoulder as he took his seat beside me. I was particularly glad that he and Nate had been the first ones here, because I had them sitting directly next to me on either side. I still wasn't sure what to say to Marco or West. They'd both avoided me all day. Marco showed up first, sauntering to the chair beside Nate with his usual carefree expression. When our eyes met for a second, his were wary. I dragged my gaze away, my throat tightening.
I didn't want to think about our earlier conversation or the revelations it had brought right now.
West arrived a few minutes later. He stalked to his chair without a word or a glance at me and sank into it abruptly. Alice, who was sitting at his other side, leaned forward to catch my eye and raised her eyebrow. Okay, so that chill wasn't just in my imagination. Was he pissed off because he hadn't meant to make out with me last night? Or was something else going on in that inscrutable wolf shifter head of his?
The chairs across from us began to fill. Aaron introduced me to each figure as they sat down. The Cumberlands, Hubert and Isla. The Porters, Frankfurt and Tracy. And so on. I caught whiffs of their scent, my instincts and their forms helping me determine their animal side. Hubert and Isla were swans. Frankfurt and Tracy, falcons. The couples around them included hawks, pelicans, and even a couple of geese. I had to bite back my amusement imagining their rounded bellies and long necks in bird form.
Well, Hubert said to Aaron after passing a nod to me, I hope the arrival of the dragon shifter means the community can move forward in a more orderly fashion from here on.
Tracy gave a harsh sigh.
It has been a stressful several years.
I'm sure your alpha has been doing his best, I wanted to say, but I bit my tongue. Aaron didn't look offended, and it would probably be a wise idea for me to make a good first impression.
I've already observed a change in the tone of conversations, Aaron said smoothly. Seeing the four of us alphas united around Serenity gives everyone the stability we've been needing.
Frankfurt peered at me over his hooked nose.
And this is the girl we've been waiting for all this time.
He didn't sound impressed. Had he expected me to come to the table in dragon form? Here I am, I said, trying not to show how uncomfortable I was. Servers started to come around with plates of food. Oh, good. At least I'd have something safe to do with my hands and my mouth. I picked up my fork, jabbed it into a slice of steak, and realized everyone on the other side of the table was staring at me. My shoulders stiffened. Nate leaned over and said gently by my ear,
At the formal dinners, the tradition is that the five of us don't start until everyone else is eating. It's a symbolic thing, or something.
Oh. My face flushed hot. I set down my fork as if it had burned me. Great. Now I already looked like a nitwit in front of all these bigwigs. The last 7 years, mostly living on the streets, waiting to eat often meant someone else snatching your food out from under you. I guessed I was going to need a major attitude adjustment.
I'm sorry, Aaron murmured. I should have warned you.
I should have waited and followed their lead. Had West just shot a glower at me? Great, one more reason for him to think I couldn't cut it in this role. I kept my hands folded in my lap until the servers had finished moving around the room. All around the tables, the estate's guests dug in. When my alphas picked up their silverware, I figured it was safe for me to start too. Now that I could eat, I had to say, the food was freaking delicious. Not that I'd expected anything else after spending a day in this place. I chewed blissfully, letting the rich, tender bites of steak overwhelm my embarrassment. It wasn't enough to keep Isla occupied, though. She jabbed her fork toward Aaron.
As soon as possible, you need to do something about that feline kin bunch who've been running around in the South End Forest Land area.
I've already started discussing it with their alpha. Aaron said in the same even tone as before. He tipped his head toward Marco, who offered a narrow smile. It's a big forest. We're all running out of room where we can exercise our animal natures in private. I think we can find a fair division.
I frowned. Why divide it? The cats will mostly be using the ground and the birds the canopy, right? Can't you all use all of it without much hassle? Isla pursed her lips with a disgusted expression. Her husband cleared his throat.
There are boundaries in place, he said, shooting Aaron a look as if accusing him of misinforming me. For good reason. The feline kin have a history of harassing avians. They agreed decades ago they would not intrude on our kin's spaces.
So, this was a Sylvester and Tweety sort of conflict. I'd have laughed if it weren't for all those disgruntled looks. I'd put my foot in it again. Shit. Oh, I said. Okay, I didn't realize. Was that pity they were looking at me with now? The back of my neck prickled. Hell, I'd only been preparing for this gig for 2 weeks, a significant amount of which I'd been busy simply keeping myself and my mates alive. Couldn't these people cut a girl a break? Maybe I should just not talk. That was a surefire way not to sound like a total dumbass. The talk turned to some event the Cumberlands wanted to organize for the kin group, and then a couple of business concerns I couldn't follow. I cleared my plate, sated but definitely still with room for dessert. Just sitting there, listening to conversation that was going over my head, made me restless. How could I be a proper mate to any of the alphas when every other shifter in the room could see how clueless I was? Then Frankfurt started ranting about humans.
We should have bought up that plot of land when we had the chance. Now those people will be right on our doorstep, making their stupid human assumptions, offering their stupid human advice, so wretchedly unaware.
But can you imagine the stir if they did know? Tracy twittered. The poor creatures couldn't wrap their heads around the power we have. I couldn't just sit quiet then. Not all humans are jerks, I said. My best friend has stuck with me through everything. Isla gave me another of those pitying looks.
But would she if she found out what you are? I think not.
A flicker of anger shot up inside me. Well, you'd be wrong, because she already knows, and she's still got my back. If I'd thought the shifter bigwigs had looked horrified before, now they looked absolutely aghast. The color drained from Isla's face. Hubert's mouth twisted into a grimace.
You revealed yourself to a human, Tracy spat out.
Aaron raised his hand for calm.
There were extenuating circumstances, he said. We made a judgment call. It worked in our favor. Serenity's friend did prove to be a valuable ally.
And to expose not just shifter affairs, but those of our alphas,
Frankfurt shook his head. I gritted my teeth. That wasn't enough to contain the rising flare of my frustration. Look, I said tartly. I'm the dragon shifter around here. I'm the only one you've got. If I can't make a call about who can know what, who else exactly is qualified to do that? Someone down the table muttered something under their breath. Most of it was too low for me to catch, but I heard enough. So long away from her own kind. My hands clenched under the table. Does anyone here need a demonstration? I asked, raising my voice slightly. To make sure I'm dragon enough for you? I could bring down the ceiling. I could set the whole place up in flames. The shifting part is covered. The rest of the details I'm learning as fast as I can. I eased open my fingers to grasp Aaron's hand, setting it on the table between us. He gripped mine in return, the corner of his mouth twitching up. And there's no one I'd rather have by my side while I'm learning than your alpha, I added. He followed me when I needed his help, and I'll follow him anywhere he needs me to go. Anywhere all of you need us to go, to keep the community strong. So I'd appreciate it if you'd give me a little credit. Silence hung all around the table for a moment. The shifters across from us lowered their eyes. Fuck. Had I made an embarrassment of myself all over again? Before I could make any more mistakes, dessert arrived.
perfect proportions of strawberry cheesecake for me to drown my sorrows. I kept my mouth shut and watched and listened. When the meal was over, Aaron stood up, tugging me with him.
"It's an honor to stand before you with my fellow alphas and, of course, my new mate," he said to our audience, pitching his voice to carry through the room. "Thank you all for how welcoming you've been to Serenity. You won't find a more devoted advocate or tenacious fighter for our people."
My face warmed. He said a few more things about how great I was, and I gave a wave to the crowd, but inside I felt unsteady. The farewells to the guests passed in a blur. Aaron walked me back to my rooms. I let him in and collapsed face first on my bed with a groan.
"You didn't have to pile on the compliments like that. I'm so sorry for running my mouth. I will never speak again."
Aaron chuckled.
"What are you talking about? You were great."
I turned my head to raise a skeptical eyebrow at him. "What are you talking about? I made a total fool of myself at least 5 times.
"Not at all." He sat down on the bed beside me, smiling. "You showed them you'd follow our traditions when you knew what those were. That you were willing to take new information into consideration. That you're devoted to the people you care about. And that you've given that loyalty to me. I couldn't have asked for more."
Was he serious? He sounded like he meant it. I couldn't quite believe it, but a little of the tension around my heart fell away. I pushed myself upright and leaned in to kiss him. Aaron slid his fingers into my hair as he kissed me back. I tried to channel every bit of love and gratitude I was feeling into the meeting of our lips. My hand rested on his thigh. As I scooted closer to deepen the kiss, my palm slipped. My thumb grazed the hard bulge that had already come to attention in Aaron's dress pants. Aaron hummed in pleasure, and a different sort of heat washed through me. Suddenly, I knew exactly what I wanted to do with this wonderful, gorgeous man. I trailed kisses along the edge of his jaw as I eased down his fly. When I tugged at his pants, he let me slide them down, watching me with eyes gone heavy-lidded with lust. The sight of it only stoked the fire inside me.
"Stay right there," I murmured, and knelt in front of him.
I flicked my tongue over the head of his cock. Aaron groaned. I grasped the base of his erection, and his hips canted toward me of their own accord.
"Serenity,"
he started as if to tell me I didn't have to, but I already knew that. I was dying to do it, for me as much as for him. The man in front of me ruled over a quarter of all the shifter kin with an even temper and measured words, but I had the power to make him lose his cool with a simple touch. And there were some parts of him I hadn't fully claimed yet. I tipped my head, taking his cock into my mouth. The taste of him, even saltier than the ocean air, laced my tongue. I swiveled it around his shaft, loving the way it twitched at the motion. He leaned back on the bed, his hands fisting the covers. His breath was already rough. I pumped my hand, gradually building speed, as I sucked him down and released him, over and over until his body was trembling and his breath coming in hoarse pants. I closed my lips around him even more tightly, and another moan carried into the air.
"Serenity," he said, "I'm going to come if you keep going."
Good. That was exactly what I wanted. A tingling grew between my legs as I slicked my lips up and down him. His cock twitched again, his breath stuttered, then his hips jerked up as his release hit the back of my mouth.
"Serenity," he muttered. "Serenity."
His hand stroked over my head, and just for that moment, nothing else mattered. Not betrayals or lies or scheming rogues and fey. There wasn't a single thing in the world that could hold me down.
18. Marco. It was hard to say what the most terrible moment in my life had been, but it had definitely happened in the last 24 hours. Maybe at the top of the list I'd put hearing the pain and anger in my princess's voice when she'd accused me of treating her like a cat toy yesterday. Maybe these few seconds now, knocking on the door to her rooms at 8 in the morning and wondering if she'll even answer. Soft footsteps padded over the rugs on the other side. My back tensed. Ren eased open the door. No, this was the most terrible moment right here, having to watch my princess of flames flinch at the sight of me, the wound I'd dealt her still blazing clear in her eyes. It cut me from heart to gut with a sharp, searing burn that I absolutely deserved. Why the fuck hadn't I kept my mouth shut for once in my life? Why had I let those idiot kin of mine rile me up? Why had I let myself start thinking about my mate like a means to an end, even a little? I knew she deserved better. I could give her better. If she ever gave me another chance. But I wasn't going to grovel and moan. The pain I was feeling was my own fault and mine to deal with. I'd be twice as much an ass if I tried to lay that on her too, as if she should comfort me through my epic screw-up. "Princess," I said with a dip of my head, "may I come in?" She hesitated, and that just about killed me. Less than a week ago, I'd tasted her most intimate places, and now she wasn't sure she even wanted me in the same room. It was going to be a long, hard climb back. But she was worth it. I just had to make her believe I believed that. I forced a self-deprecating smile. "I can make my apologies here in the hall if you'd rather, but I promise I'm not planning on imposing for very long."
"No," she said. "All right, come in."
She must already have been up for a while. I could smell the traces of soap mingling with the sweet scent of her freshly washed skin. She'd picked out another dress, dusty rose-pink silk, simpler than the one she'd worn to the formal dinner last night, but no less regal. It clung to her slim curves in a way that provoked a flash of desire all through my body. She hadn't chosen it for breakfast with her mates, though, I'd guess. That was her armor for meeting the Fey Monarch. "You'll put her fairy highness to shame," I said, nodding to her dress. Ren brushed her hands over the flowing fabric, looking briefly awkward. Then she drew her posture straighter again.
"I just want her to know she's dealing with a different kind of monarch," she said. "What was it you wanted to talk about?"
As if she couldn't guess. It was hard to hold her gaze while I pulled together the words, but I didn't want her to think I was shying away from responsibility. "Like I said, I need to apologize," I said. "You're right to be angry with me. I should never have talked about you that way, to anyone. I can't tell you how much I wish I hadn't. And I hate even more that you had to hear it."
"So why did you say those things?" she asked, crossing her arms over her chest.
God, how to say it. The words tasted bitter as I formed them. "There's a certain air of confidence I've found I need to show when talking to my kin, especially the ones who might have an eye on my position as Alpha. If they think nothing much affects me, they don't find any weaknesses to exploit. But I shouldn't have let that extend to you. I owe you so much more respect than that." Ren's eyes studied me steadily, giving away nothing.
"Do you owe me it?" she said. "So you're telling me nothing you said to your kin reflected your real feelings, even a little?"
I couldn't lie, faced with her dragon shifter sensibilities. She'd know, and that would only dig me deeper into this hole. "I meant what I told you in the caves, princess," I said. "I care about you. I want to spend my life with you. But I can't pretend I'm not also aware that my position will be more secure once our bond is consummated. I may have pushed too much. I'm even more sorry for that." There was so much more I could have said to try to explain, but I could read her too. And with the avian upper class snapping at her and this fey parley looming, she clearly was in no mood for excuses. The excuses were beneath me anyway. I'd screwed up. I owned that. What really mattered now wasn't what had happened in the past, but what I did from here on. "I understand it'll take time to get your trust back," I added. "But I will, however long it takes. I may talk a lot, but I don't give my word lightly. I promise you I'll earn that trust back honestly." Ren nodded. I couldn't tell whether she accepted the promise or just wanted me out of her sight.
"Thank you for the apology," she said carefully. "I guess we'll just have to see how it goes.
I'll need some space so I can think. Of course, when we were close to each other, our mate bond still pulled her toward me as much as me to her. I could be grateful for that much. I dipped my head. Until our field trip into the fairy realm, then. She didn't say another word as she saw me out. The door clicked shut behind me, and I couldn't say my heart felt any less heavy.
Ren. My head was so full of questions and worries about the upcoming parley that I barely had room in there to decide how I felt about Marco's apology. I hardly had room to even pay attention to where I was going. I followed the smell of eggs and sausage down the hall to the private dining room. My stomach was tight with anxiety, but I was going to need energy for this meeting with the Fae Monarch. I had no doubt about that. How was she going to react when I told her what I know her people had done? How was I going to react if she tried to brush it aside or deny it? Aaron's people would be really unimpressed if I managed to bring the shifters to the brink of a supernatural war less than a month after I'd shown up to take my spot as dragon shifter. A woman came out of the dining room and headed toward me. I distantly registered her scent. Owl. The tray she was holding must have been bringing or clearing food, and the thin gloves covering her hands. Was it colder than usual today? Then my mind went back to mulling over the day ahead of me. I wasn't paying her any attention at all when she dropped the tray at my feet and rammed a carving knife toward my stomach. My shifter reflexes kicked in before I even processed that I was under attack. I leapt to the side, smacking out with my arm at the same moment. The knife only nicked my belly. The woman gave a little cry and threw herself at me. I grabbed her wrist before she could take another slash. Scales rippled over my body as I started to shift defensively. I loomed over her, my haunches growing, my claws extending, fire rippling in my throat. "Ren," Nate's voice carried from behind me. Another distraction was not what I needed right now. "Stay back," I shouted, my voice gone hoarse with the partial transformation. "I'm handling this." The woman squirmed in my grasp. She aimed a kick at my hip, but it glanced off the thickly scaled skin that had formed there. She jabbed at my eyes with her free hand. I jerked away, and my grip on her wrist loosened. She broke free and took another stab at me. With a growl, I knocked her to the floor. The knife sliced across my shoulder. I swiped at it with a taloned hand, sending it flying into the wall. The woman stared up at me, her eyes wide with what now looked like panic. I pinned both her arms to the floor, staring at her as I caught my breath. The gloves suddenly made sense. She had to be hiding her lack of a kin mark. I had her trapped. I'd stopped her, and now she couldn't get away. We could finally talk to one of the rogues, whatever good that might do us. Nate's footsteps sounded behind me. He'd hung back like I'd asked him to. I shot him a quick, fierce smile over my shoulder. "Thank you. What do you say we find out what she knows?"
"You've got this," he said, coming to stand beside me. "Let me know if you need me."
But now that I had the rogue, I wasn't sure what to say. "Why did you attack me?" I asked, fixing my stare on her again. "Are you on your own, or are there other rogues here?"
"I'm not going to tell you anything," she gasped out and set her lips in a firm line.
"Are you part of the group that came after my mother before, that murdered my fathers and sisters? How did you even get into the estate?" She looked back at me without a word. Frustration boiled up inside me. The heat collected in my throat, and my mind leapt back to the words I'd heard as I'd accepted the crystal's flame in the mountain. Burn away lies to get at what is real. The urge to breathe fire tickled in the back of my mouth. I could do it. I could shift all the way, spill my fiery breath over this woman. But I'd never tried to use this new power before. What if I used it wrong, and all I did was burn her alive? I'd hurt people while fighting them in self-defense before, but this rogue was already subdued. And being set on fire? That wasn't defense, that was torture. Every bone in my body balked at the thought. That wasn't how I wanted to start my reign over the shifters. The rogues were the cruel ones.
Not me.
Serenity.
Aaron had come out of the dining room. He stiffened at the scene in the hall, the rasp in his voice thickened.
What happened?
She attacked me with a knife. Looks like one from the kitchens, I said. But she's refusing to talk. How did you make someone talk if you didn't resort to torture? I peered into her eyes, trying to find an answer there. She blinked, and a strange impression came over me. The way she was gazing up at me. It wasn't angry. It wasn't even entirely afraid anymore. She was in awe of me. I felt it, like a rush of warm air. And under it, a tight knot of sorrow. The pieces clicked together in my head. You didn't really want to do this, did you? I said, letting my voice soften. The woman's jaw twitched. A shadow of that sadness crossed her face. I'd hit the mark. The door at the far end of the hall murmured open, but I didn't look back to see who was joining us. All my awareness stayed focused on the rogue. They forced you to help them, I said gently. Did they threaten you, or someone you care about? Her composure broke. A little sob fell from her lips. Her eyes had filled with tears. Aaron knelt down at my side.
I swear you will not be punished for the crimes you were coerced into. By my oath as Elpha.
He held up his hand with the oath scar etched in the palm. A pulse of power tingled over me. The rogue must have felt it too. A few of her tears spilled down the sides of her face.
They have my son. He's only 17. He's all I have. If they find out, I told you.
They won't, Aaron said firmly. And we'll stop them. We'll get your son back.
I glanced at Aaron, and he nodded his approval. Where are the rogues who took him?
I don't know, the owl shifter said in a thin voice. Everything is passed through messages. I never see them face to face.
Are they planning anything else? Do they have anyone else working for them on the estate? She shook her head.
I don't know. They only told me that if I managed to, if I...
She couldn't seem to spit out the words. If you killed me, I prompted.
Yes, then they'd return my son. That's all I know.
I bit my lip. I wanted to help her. I wanted to take down every one of the rogues who'd forced someone like her to take the fall for their schemes. But we couldn't when this was all she knew. We'll do what we can for you, I said. But we'll need you to help us, too. Find out more about them, where they are, what else they're doing, who's involved. Anything, so that we can track them down. We won't reveal that we caught you. You can pretend you're still waiting for your chance, but that you want to do more for them. Act like you've decided you agree with them so they'll trust you. Can you do that?
If it gets my son back, I'll do anything.
She dragged in a breath.
Thank you for your mercy.
I pushed off her, watching her as I stood. She sat up, no sudden movements, no sign she meant to try another attack. She might have bruises on her wrists from my grip tomorrow, but I couldn't help that. From the expression on her face, she wouldn't blame me for them.
I'll make arrangements for you to get word to me, wherever I am, when you have any news, Aaron said. And of course we'll be keeping our eyes out for your not kin,
West said in a brittle voice. Marco stood just behind him. Some relaxing breakfast this was turning out to be. Aaron helped the owl shifter to her feet and ushered her off to the side to talk with her further. I sighed, leaning my hand against the wall. The rush of adrenaline was fading, leaving me shaky. The lovely dress I'd picked out in the hopes of impressing the Fey Monarch, at least a little, was now torn around my legs from my partial shift. The skin on my belly stung where the carving knife had pricked it. The cut on my shoulder was only seeping a little blood now, but it still ached. Nate slid his arm around my shoulders.
Let's go back to your rooms and patch you up.
He shot a glance at his fellow alphas.
Have one of the servers bring a plate for her.
West glowered, as if he resented the order, but Marco accepted it with a quick nod.
Not a problem.
He looked toward the rogue woman, and his lips curled into a grimace.
And might I suggest you keep the door locked until the food gets there?
19. Ren. By the time Nate and I made it to my rooms, my legs were done. I wobbled over to the sofa in the sitting room and sank onto it. Nate ducked into the bathroom. He came back with a small silver case that turned out to hold pretty normal-looking first aid supplies. I winced as he dabbed antiseptic cream on my cuts. He smoothed a thin adhesive bandage onto my shoulder and considered my stomach. I guess I should take this off, I said, reaching for the straps of the torn dress. Being a shifter does seem to be hard on one's clothing supply. Nate chuckled.
We always make sure to have lots of spares on hand.
I stripped the silky fabric from my body, leaving me and only my bra and panties. It was impossible not to see the heat kindling in Nate's gaze as he watched. An answering dampness formed between my legs. I swallowed hard and held out my hand for the other bandage. He stood back while I attached it. I still didn't feel ready to stand up. I held out my hand to him, and he sat down beside me, collecting me against him, my bare legs across his lap, his arm around my shoulders, loosely, so I had room to move away if I wanted to. What I wanted was closer. I nestled against his solid body, letting the warm and strength in it soothe me. I didn't know the question was coming until it fell out of my mouth. Are they ever going to stop? The rogues? Are they ever going to just leave me alone? I never did anything to them. They don't even know me.
I know,
Nate said in his low baritone. He tucked his chin over my head and rubbed the side of my arm.
I don't even understand what they did 16 years ago. To carry around that much hate. To want to hurt people that much. They're sick. Their minds are twisted. That's the only thing I can think.
Then they won't stop. They'll just keep at it until they kill me. Or we kill all of them.
Maybe they'll be able to change their minds once they do get to know you.
He pressed a kiss to my forehead.
You're already becoming a part of our community. Most of the kin are welcoming you. You've seen that, haven't you?
My mind went to the iciness of the bigwigs last night. But the truth was, they were just a small portion of the shifters, even if they were powerful. Most of the kin I'd met, the avians here, the canines in that other village, had thought more of me than I even did. Yeah, I said. They've been wonderful, actually. I'm not sure I deserve it yet.
Of course you do. By fighting back against the rogues, which you've done more than once already, you're fighting for all of us, for the security of all kin. And what you did just now, with that owl shifter? You proved you're trying to do the right thing for all shifters, even the rogues. People will see that. Word will be passed on. And the ones who aren't so twisted might realize they're wrong.
I wasn't sure whether I believed that was likely, but it was a nice thought, all the same. A knock sounded on the door. I couldn't help wincing. Nate gave my arm a reassuring squeeze and went up to answer it. He came back with a plate of breakfast foods that set my stomach grumbling. For a few minutes, my hunger shoved our conversation to the wayside. I dug into the scrambled eggs, sausage, and hash browns as if I hadn't eaten in days. Shifting sure gave a person an appetite. Or maybe it was the adrenaline. Either way, I polished off the food like my life depended on it.
Better?
Nate asked with an amused smile. Much. I set the plate aside and snuggled closer to him, wrapping my arm around his brawny chest. We still had a couple hours before we needed to leave for the parley. And being with him,
holding him and being held by him, was the best salve I could think of for my nerves right now. What had the shifter who'd delivered my breakfast thought of this situation, of my hiding away in my room? That question brought my thoughts back to Nate's earlier comments. No one here really knows me yet, I had to point out. Not even the people who like me. They're still waiting to see exactly what I'm going to do. Nate hummed in agreement.
Maybe, but they're hoping it'll be good. They want to be on your side.
That was true, wasn't it? I'd felt that hope in every shifter I'd spoken to during the celebration. And with each step forward, I could give them a little more to justify their faith in me. It wasn't just the ordinary shifters who had faith. My alphas had stood by me from the start, from when I'd been a total stranger to them, too, no matter how skeptical they might have been. And Nate hadn't wavered once. He might have gotten overenthusiastic with the heroics, but he'd never talked to me or acted in any other way like he doubted me. I tipped my face back and touched his cheek. Nate didn't need me to tell him what I was looking for now. He bent his head, capturing my lips with a soft but eager kiss. His hands skimmed over my body, grazing every inch of bare skin. I slid my hand up under his shirt as I kissed him harder, wanting to feel him, too, to explore every plane of that firmly muscled chest. To really make him mine. The thought swam up in my head through the haze of longing. No hesitation rose to counter it. The idea just felt right. I tugged at Nate's shirt. He peeled it right off and leaned in for another kiss. Every spot his bare skin touched mine left me burning with even more desire. He stroked his hand up my back and worked the clasp of my bra free. As he trailed his kisses down my collarbone, he cupped my breast with his strong, able fingers. His thumb swiveled over my nipple, sending a jolt of pleasure through me. I moaned, arching up on his lap. He tipped my breast up to his mouth and teased the nipple even tighter with his tongue. My fingers dug into his shoulders. Pleasure coursed from my chest down to my core as he laved one breast and then the other. His hand followed his mouth, flicking and caressing until both nipples stood at stiff peaks and the rest of me was trembling.
I love seeing how good I can make you feel,
Nate murmured, nuzzling the side of my neck.
I love that I can take care of you this way. I've never wanted anyone like this, Ren. My heart always knew you were the one I needed.
A pang hit me, bittersweet. He'd taken such a chance waiting for me, giving up the happiness that had been right in front of him without ever knowing if I'd turn up. I slid my hand around his neck and pulled him into a deeper kiss. My other hand rested on his lap beside my legs, on the hard length of his erection straining against his fly. Nate groaned into my mouth. He eased his fingers up and down my hips, teasing the edge of my panties, asking but not demanding. My tongue slipped into his mouth to tangle with his. For a long moment, I rode on the rush of pleasure that came from our mingling breaths. Then I pushed myself off his lap, pulling him with me, toward the bed. I need you, too, I said. Nate gazed at me with a sudden intensity. He got up and stepped over to me, looming above me from his full height. But it was a reassuring loom. It made me feel larger that a man like this wanted me this much, not smaller. I hooked my fingers over the hem of his pants, his breath caught.
Ren,
he said wonderingly. He touched the side of my face, so much tenderness in that powerful hand. I want you to be my mate, I said, gazing back at him. And I want to be yours, from now until always.
Hell yes, he said.
He bent to crush his lips against mine again. I gripped his shoulders as he walked us back toward the bed. When my legs hit the foot of the frame, I reached for the button of his pants. He kicked them off and his boxers, too. For a second, I just gazed at the perfection of his body. 6 foot something of solid muscle and soft skin, all for my taking. And his cock. Thick and long and standing at attention for me. Growing even harder when I stroked it from base to head. Nate rumbled low in his chest. He scooped me up and laid me on the massive bed, making quick work of my panties. But the impulse to take control came over me. I nudged him onto his back and knelt over him. He grinned up at me, resting his hands on my hips.
"Lead the way. I'll be right there with you."
A rush of affection flooded me. I lowered my lips to his, kissing him long and hard. But too much desire had built up between my legs for me to wait long. I rubbed my sex against his cock. We both moaned. Inhaling slowly, I lowered myself right onto him. His cock filled me completely with a heady burn. I whimpered, rocking against him until he was all the way in. He reached up to fondle my breasts with one hand while the other stroked over my clit. The combined sensations set off a flood of bliss that swept every other thought from my head. I rode him desperately, chasing my release. He pumped his hips up to meet me. His breath turned ragged. A sheen of sweat dampened his muscled chest as I braced my hands against it.
"I want to watch you come,"
he murmured, swirling his thumb over my clit.
"Take everything you need, sweetheart."
Something about those words sent me over the edge. The glow of our bond flared between us. It flowed over me, surrounding me in the protection I knew Nate would always offer me whenever I needed him. I bucked against him a few more times, and pleasure burst through my body. I gasped, clutching him. He caressed me through the wave, his eyes bright with appreciation and a deeper desire. Even as my nerves sang out, I wanted more, too. Harder. Faster. I sagged against him and gave him a little tug to roll us over. He flipped us without slipping out of me. I raised my legs on either side of his hips to give him even deeper access. "More," I said. "Take me higher." He thrust inside me with a shudder.
"You feel so good, Ren. So fucking good."
A moan broke from my lips. "So do you. Give me everything. I can take it. I want it. Don't you dare hold back." With a sound halfway between a groan and a chuckle, he thrust faster. Our skin slid together, slick with sweat. Every muscle in his body felt coiled beneath my groping hands, driving his shaft into me with everything he had, just the way I needed it. The pleasure swelled and swelled until I was shaking with it. I arched up, taking him all the way to the hilt, and another orgasm swept through me. Nate jerked with a hot gush inside me, his head bowed over me as he rocked to a stop. We lay there, panting for a long moment. I traced my fingers over his cheek, and he beamed down at me, so brightly it sent a flutter through my chest.
"I don't know how I got so lucky," he said, "but I'm sure as hell going to make sure I deserve it."
I said, pulling him down to cuddle against me. I think this was an excellent start. I fit against his body perfectly. His heart thudded beneath my ear where it pressed against his hot skin. I pressed a kiss to it, wishing I could stay here like this for the rest of the day. His fingers glided up and down my back.
"We'll have to get you back into another dress soon."
"I know, but not yet." 5 more minutes without thinking about the Fey Monarch and what she might have in store for us. That was all I asked. I nestled my head against his shoulder, closing my eyes against the rest of the world and the worries that came with it. 20. Ren. Insects hummed around us as we tramped along the narrow path through the woods. The mossy smell in the air was kind of pleasant, but the terrain? Not so much. I glowered at the jutting root I'd just stubbed my toe on. So much for getting a break from hiking after that long trek up and down the mountain.
We'd driven most of the way to the neutral ground that lay between the avian estate and the Fey monarch's domain, but apparently the Fey found any sort of man-made transportation distasteful. Arriving to meet them with a motorized vehicle would have been a grave insult. So we were walking. Which, frankly, was a grave insult to my feet. But I wasn't in a position to make demands on that big a scale yet. It'd have been easier if I could have at least flown, but I was still pretty much a newbie when it came to shifting. The last thing I wanted was to blow my wad of energy before we even got to this fairy queen. From everything I'd heard, I was going to need all my wits and power for that confrontation. My alphas had stayed in human form so they could talk to the monarch too, I guessed, and probably also to keep me company. But a few of Aaron's kin had joined us as their bird selves. Alice had squeezed my hand and told me to give the Fey hell before taking off as an eagle nearly as large as her brother's. A shrike, a raven, and an albatross were soaring over the forest alongside us as well, watching for any suspicious Fey activity. Aaron strode along in the lead, scanning the forest with his watchful eyes. Marco sauntered after him with his feline grace. West was walking as far behind me as he could manage without running into Nate, who was guarding our flanks. The bond between me and my eagle and bear glowed through me with a comforting heat. But I was just as aware of my other two mates, and the nagging pull toward them begging to be fulfilled. Especially West. Even though he was keeping his distance, my back kept tingling with the sense of his gaze on me. A sudden, more heady kind of heat. There, then jerked away, then there again. I tugged at the skirt of my new dress to lift it out of the way of my shoes as we scrambled up a small rocky slope. This one was a crimson silk instead of the earlier pink, but I liked it, too. It was a color that said I wasn't one to take any nonsense. Which I wasn't, with Faye or with my mates. I slowed my pace until West had no choice but to let me fall back beside him. The path was just wide enough for us to walk side by side, though I had to make a conscious effort not to let my arm brush his. He looked straight ahead, his jaw tightening. "Is this really how we're going to do this from now on?" I asked. "With you going around all day acting like I've gravely offended you somehow?"
"None of my responsibilities as Alpha demand that I pander to you," he retorted.
"Oh, please. In the last 2 days, you've been friendlier to the furniture than you've been to me. I'm not saying you've got to throw me a party. I just don't see why you've got to completely freeze me out." I heard him swallow.
"I think you know what the problem is, Sparks."
A flare of anger I hadn't expected shot through me because I didn't know. Because nothing about how he was acting seemed remotely reasonable to me. I raised my chin. "I can think of a whole lot of things you might be pissed off about, but I honestly haven't got a clue why you seem to be pissed off at me. You want to be my mate, and you also don't. Fine. Take all the time you want figuring that out. When have I ever said anything else? I'm not trying to push you into anything. The most I've ever asked you for is a kiss 2 weeks ago. So be frustrated with yourself or the situation or, hell, even my mom for how she handled things, but I don't see how it's fair for you to take that out on me." Silence hung between us for a minute. There was nothing but the rasp of our feet over the uneven ground. I started to wonder if I'd pissed him off even more. Then West inhaled sharply. His voice came out even throatier than usual.
"You're right. I haven't been completely fair. I'm sorry for that."
Some of the tension in me ebbed. "So, we can move to at least polite conversation?" The corner of his mouth twitched.
"Maybe some. That's not really my forte at the best of times. Don't push your luck."
He hadn't said much, but the space between us felt less fraught now.
I was about to pick up my pace and give him the breathing room he obviously wanted when he added,
"So, I guess we're heading to the Bear Shifter's estate next."